between the 49 days between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah must have been days when Moshe Rabbeinu instructed Klal Yisrael how to ready themselves for Har Sinai. Yaakov suggests, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky used to teach Pirkei Avos and Samar like that's the Minhag Yisrael. And the last year, 2 years ago, one of his grandchildren published a very small volume of Rabbi Yaakov's comments on Pirkei Avos. Some very fascinating ideas there. So in the Hakdama, he says that Klal Yisrael readying itself, getting itself prepared for Matan Torah, had to work on their own, on their midos, and their personalities, to be people who are more open. Avodim are, by their nature, have to be, I'm paraphrasing, it's not exactly the way he says it. Avodim, by their nature, have to be closed people, have to be narrow people, because you have a job, you do the job. You don't, an Eved, who tries to figure out ways of doing it in a better way, not such a good Eved. An Eved is supposed to do it, So on one hand, there are properties of an Eved which served us well at Har Sinai, and the idea of being compliant and subservient. On the other hand, there are parts of the personality of Eved which go contrary to what Hakadosh Baruch Hu wants of us, to be number one, to be open minded, to be able to see things differently, to be able to be giving people. And Eved doesn't have a chance to be a doesn't have what they give. So Yaakov understands that from Yetzias Mitzrayim till Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael was counting towards Har Sinai, but not some counting, that they were getting themselves ready to become people who are more, to become a personality on which the Torah will have a greater impact. So Klal Yisrael adopted that approach and said, so what do we do? How do we mimic the avoda of the avos, of that door, by studying Pirkei Avos? Because that's the way that Klal Yisrael can focus on becoming a more refined kind of a person, and a more refined personality. Now, the opening of the Mesech, the Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Why does the Mishnah begin with Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai? So the Bartanura says, because Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to realize this too is from Har Sinai. Midos tovos are also from Har Sinai. Attitudes. It's not only midos, it's more attitudes. And much of the comments of the Vilna Gaon and Pirkei Avos are to explain where you find these attitudes within Halacha, within Torah. Moshe kibel Torah misinei umisara liyeshua and transmitted to Yeshua. Yeshua is Kainim's came in Vim, the Vim Misarua, Lanchik Nesagdola. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who wrote also a classic in Pirkei Avos, he highlighted the following questions. I think the Maharal also highlights this, that the verbs of the Mishnah move. Right, Moshe kibel Torah Misinai. It doesn't say Hashem masar haTorah leMoshe. Moshe kibel Torah Misinai. But then it says umisarul Yeshua. It doesn't say Yeshua kiblo mi Moshe, umisarul Yeshua. So the classic approach is Moshe kibel. I think of Chaim Volozhiner. The idea of kibel means I get what I'm able to receive. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave more than a human being can receive. So you can say that Moshe, one human being, can transmit to another human being. But to say Kadosh Baruch Hu Masar LaMoshe, it's far more important to say Moshe Kibel. Moshe received what Moshe could receive. So the Kabbalah from the Rabbanu Shalom is Kabbalah. But then it switches to Masru, and then it drops the verb altogether. Yeshua l'skenim. Why not Yeshua masal l'skenim? Uzkenim v'im. Right. So then you say, well, that's the style of Mishnah. introduce a verb and drop the verb. Right, so that's the kasha of Chaim Volozhiner. And you see in bold relief. Got it? See? Mm-hmm. There you go. Okay. Posh in there, right? Moshe Kibel Termi Sinai Umisaru Yeshua. So that the distinction between Kibel and Misara, that could be the difference between receiving through Rabban Shalom and human being to human being. Right? But the question that Rav Chaim Volozhiner says is, why do we say Umisaru Yeshua? And then over here we drop the verb. Here we drop the verb. And here we put the verb back. So Chaim Volozhiner says that when there was a very significant drop in from one generation to the next generation, what we call a Yeridas Hadoros, when there was a very substantial Yeridas Hadoros, it is indicated in the Mishnah by the verb Umisara. So from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua was a huge Yeridas Hadoros. As great as Yeshua was, but Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one, because Baruch Hu says his Nevuah was unique. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua had to be a very significant drop, because we know the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was Ba'aspe Gloria Me'ira. Right? There was Panim El Panim. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, what's Panim El Panim? Clarity, Rashi says. So Moshe Rabbeinu's grasp of Torah could not be entirely transmitted to Yeshua. So that's what the Rechaim Lashon, that's Peshat Umisara, is to indicate a very perceptible, a very remarkable drop in the Misara. A remarkable Yevidas Hadoros. Yeshua Tizkenim, that was Navi to Navi. Zekenim to Navi was Navi to Navi. When did Nevuah stop? Anche Nesagdola. Right? They were the last in the Nevi'im. So when was the next major Yevidas Hadoros? Nevi'im to Anche Nesagdola. Right? Because the last of the Nevi'im, Anche Nesagdola, at the beginning had some Nevi'im. But this obviously is referring to the last of the Nevi'im who were members to the balance. And Shimon HaTzadik, Koya Mishurik Nesagdola. So with the according to Chaim Volozhiner, the purpose of this phrase, right, of this is not only to track the Mesorah, but to track the concept of Yeridas Hadoros. Right, for example, so we in our generation see very perceptibly these Yeridas Hadoros, right? Because we see, they say the name of the Chabiner. The Chabiner was one of the Gedolim of Europe who made it. Chabiner survived. Yeah, I think Chabiner survived the war, yeah. Dov Bez Weidenfeld, yeah. He was one of the big, he gave a huge amount of Haskamas after the, when he established Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. So he was one of the Gedolim of the previous Dor. But the Gedolim, the Eina Dome, the Gedolim of, this is, it's not me to, for me to say, but those who were older than me, so they noticed a remarkable, and it had to be because the Second World War, the way that they removed such a group of Lamdanim. So we are for us is very perceptible. The Shabiner was one that said that in previous generations, what would take a few centuries, we experience that within 50 years. That's the kind of review that we have. But coming back to this Mishnah, so the Chaim Volozhiner suggests that that's the point of the Mishnah. And then, if that is the case, then the the goal of the first perek is to note the various responses that one has to Yibidus Adoros. How does one maintain the attitudes of Klal Yisrael when there's a perceptible drop in the ability for one generation to grasp what the previous generation wants to give it? So, for example, I would suggest, Lani is that, and this I think we can find in the writings of Yaakov Moshe Chalap, is that the unshakenness of Gdola, Yaakov writes this to some extent, what was, in our minds, what were the major accomplishments of the unshakenness of Gdola?
Seder Tanakh.
Right. So, arranging the Tanakh, canonizing the Tanakh, what's in and what's out. Closing the Tanakh, so to speak. All right? What else? Siddur, tefillin. Right. What else?
Holidays.
What's that?
Holidays.
We have holidays.
And they
established, established. All right. Correct. They were the first established Purim. Right.
They
the last of
the door and a lot of things that were open. They made things that were in the air. They brought down to be very like a maisa.
In other words, the recording of the Mishnah was part of the Bayesheni. Overall, the role of the Anshek Nesek Gdola, which we see most clearly in the arrangement and the arranging of the Siddur of davening, was that they saw that the Bayesheni was not going to be the was not the end of, was not permanent. And they understood that their role was to prepare Klal Yisrael for the next major goals. And it was our success in thriving throughout all the Golias, Hashgacha v'Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashgacha v'Kadosh Baruch Hu utilized the tools in the Anshei Nesek Gdola to a great extent. For example, the fact that Klal Yisrael primarily davenes the same kind of davening, with all of the differences of Ashkenaz and Sfarad, with all the differences, but the bottom, right, at the end of the day, we have the same format, and we've had the same format since Ashkenaz and Gdola. And that's what the Rambam records. Rambam writes, Ashkenaz and Gdola, that things began to unravel. They saw we would not have the facility of language that the Jews had at that time. And so if we wouldn't have had, we can only imagine, we wouldn't have had a text for the Anshei Nesek Gdola, so our davening would be all over the place. Right? We would be continuously moving from vernacular to vernacular. The Siddur would continuously reflect passing ideas of different generations. So Anshei Nesek Gdola gave us a format in which we can adapt, and but it would if you can imagine Klal Yisrael without a Siddur, so our davening would no longer reflect core Torah ideals, and the davening would shift from place to place. The unity of Klal Yisrael would be, we can hardly imagine we would be unified people without a Siddur. Bottom line is, a Jew can go into any base Knesset. So go into Ashkenaz and Sfarad, and you're disoriented a little bit, right? But you know there's a Shachar Shmin Chamarav, you know there's a Shmin Esri, it's Pesukim Zimra, it's going to be Leinik, right? So you're anchored, all right? So then you're around. The same thing is certainly true with Mishnah. You know, if without Mishnah, so what would happen to Klal Yisrael? Right. Same thing is obviously true with the canon, Tanakh. So the Anshei Knesset Gdola were responding to a great extent. You mentioned Avodah Zarah, right? The loss of the Pashvat of Avodah Zarah. That was Anshei Knesset Gdola preparing Klal Yisrael for not having a base of Mikdash. So the Mishnah seems to be recording the Anshei Knesset Gdola reaction to this Yiridus Adoros. They saw it happen, And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has even more remarkable things to say about this. He says that the reason why the Anshe Knesset Hagdola, the reason why they, the Oron was taken away, hidden during the second Beis Hamikdash, he suggested that was a willful act on behalf of the leadership, and in order for Klal Yisrael to realize that this is a passing stage, that this is not permanent. He suggests that the reason why we came back from Babel and maintained Aramaic is a very significant part of our culture, instead of tossing it out, getting back to Hebrew. And why did we maintain Aramaic names? Right, as evident from the right. So he suggests all of these things were because the Rabbanim wanted us to realize we are not back in Eretz Yisrael now for permanent. And the idea was, and therefore we got to prepare Klal Yisrael. And one sees what a magnificent accomplishment the Anshei Knesset Gedola gave Klal Yisrael, and how they shored up certain tefillah, Talmud Torah, and without which it'd be hard to imagine that we would be that we would have the same format and form of a nation that we have. So I would suggest, and I think Rabbi Yaakov Moshe may say this, I would suggest that the Anshei Knesset Gedola said, they explained, Hey, Mom, Shosh, and Devarim. They said, whenever, he said, you look at the Anshei Knesset Gedola, you think these were people who introduced massive changes to Jewish people, and it's true, they did. So they explained to us, how do you introduce changes to Jewish people? Have a Musuna Medin. Extremely slow and deliberate. You shouldn't imagine for a moment that it was a few rabbanim got together and said, it's time for the Siddur. Mesunim Adin. It was slow, it was deliberate. It was a very, 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 everything which they did. Next, Hamidu Talmidim Arbe. It was with a, when you have lots of Talmidim, that means that you have lots of give and take. You have lots of ears to the ground, so to speak. You know what's happening in Klal Yisrael. So, Midu Talmidim Harbe means, I would say two things. Number one is that if one want that the institution of change, they knew would not cause a period because they had Talmidim Harbe. They had students out there. So they're introducing the Siddur. They knew that they were going to be successful in introducing a change, and it would be a panoramic change for Klal Yisrael because they had Talmidim all over the place. And at the same time, they got feedback. They really knew what was going on in Klal Yisrael because they had loads of Talmidim. If the Anshei Knesset initially was 120 people, and each one had a few Talmidim, so you're talking about a tremendous force throughout Klal Yisrael and the Susi Torah, and everything has to be geared as something that would protect Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. In other words, there are different kinds of changes. We are very tuned to these ideas. Right? There are changes, modifications that we try to introduce because we believe that generation has changed, and in order for the generation to be able to be attuned to core Torah ideals, we have to interpret parts of Torah and understand it in a deeper fashion, in a way that is obviously consistent with Torah and one which will protect Torah and watch over it. Sometimes change comes because people want to impose certain ideas in the Torah. So that's not protecting the Torah. That's not stealing the Torah. Right? Because there are certain ideas that are part of the zeitgeist which if the Torah carries those ideas, it'll carry those ideas further. That's not protecting the Torah. That is using the Torah to protect certain other ideas. So that's one of the great litmus tests that the Anshei Knesset Gedolah gave us. I would then just suggest that following the approach of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, it unifies the perek. Because if you look at the perek, you see Yosef 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 Yosef. They're a pair, right? One refers to a Beischa, Beisvad L'Chachamim. The next, the Yuan Niyim, B'nei Beischa.
It's called
Ruach Chaim
or something like that?
That's the Ruach Chaim, yeah. So here you see both are addressing the bias. Right? Yeshua ben Prach, Nita Ve'eli, Kimu Yem. When was the Nasim, when was the Abbeis? One addressed the Selach HaRav, Kenei L'Chachover, if you don't call him, and Hachek Meshachin Ra, Adas Chavel Rasha. So interpersonal relationships. Yudah ben Tabai, Vishim Meshetach, Kibbul Mayem. Also, once Nasi, once Abbasin. Al Tas Atzmachok Archa and the Yonim. Had been Marbil Achkar Mesawaydim. They both refer to courts, right? Shim Mavtalian, Kibbul Mayem. Elvis Hamalacha, Snaus Rabban, Hotzadashas, relationship to leadership. Avtana, Elizumi, Vidivrechem, Shemitachov, Bukharvis. So it seems to me that each Mishnah, each pair, are addressing similar institutions within Klal Yisrael. What I would suggest as a unifying theme of the first parak is that different leaders during the second base of Mikdash identified different parts of Klal Yisrael that were crucial that had to be strengthened in order to successfully negotiate a Yerida Sadoros. Right? The concern of the first parak is how do we maintain the teachings of Klal Yisrael throughout the Golos? How do we maintain it when one generation does not have the tools with which they're going to absorb the ideas of the previous generation? That's what the Yerida Sadoros is. A mushal. A wine would often tell that he was in Miami, where a Kahneman would come and visit him. Kahneman was a Pana Majorov. On one visit, when Rav Kahneman was visiting Rabbi Wine, he got a telegram from Eretz Yisrael that the boys of Pana Mishar are fed up with the food, and they're going on strike. And the going on strike meant they only learned Gemara Shetosos. Right. So Rav Kahneman got the telegram when he was, and he says to Rabbi Wine, he says, you know, they had food. They had food. They had bread. They had three meals a day. He said, when we were Talmidim, we didn't have food. And we learned day and night. We didn't have the amount of food they had. He said, if they would know what we had, they have some of the quality of the food. Right? We didn't ask for quality. We just wanted food, right? And he says, and he turns to Rabbi Wine, it's a different generation. You can't expect his Talmidim to live and to love, to learn under the same conditions. And we read this over and over again. The affluence of every generation, now increasing affluence, creates different expectations. There's different levels of Mesiris and Nefesh. Right? But that's just it gives you a picture of how one has to, how when there's a Yeridas Hadoros of dedication, of concern, of commitment, so obviously there's going to be Yerida in what we can accomplish. So the unshaken, and there's going to be a greater challenge by the cultures. Klal Yisrael is going to travel through various cultures. And every culture is going to raise a different challenge to Torah. We hope every culture will teach us how to enhance the... It certainly teaches us how to appreciate the viability of Torah. We hope every culture will teach, will draw out certain ideas that we otherwise would not have noted in Torah, as we hope. But at the same time, every culture does challenge the viability of Torah. So the Anshei Knesset Gedolah were looking at this in the probably the largest possible, because they were looking at, they knew that the people were going to be uprooted from Eretz Yisrael, and they knew that people were going to lose Beis HaMikdash. So they were looking, they were preparing Klal Yisrael for the greatest change that could have been imposed upon a people. And as a result, they responded magnificently. As we know, 2,000 years later. At the same time, they cautioned us that and that when you respond to Yiridus Hadoros, you have to do so with great gravitas, great concern. But then I would suggest that after this, the unifying theme of the first parak is that Klal Yisrael has to realize we have precious institutions that are there to help us maintain the Torah attitudes throughout Yiris HaDoros. So the home is one of those tools. So therefore, Yossi ben Yoezer and Yes ben Yechon focused on how to be mechazek the home. And Yeshua ben Parachi and Itar Bailey, they understood that the court system, that the relationships of Rebbe and of Talmud and of Chaverim, those are the great institutions which help, which can, if they're strengthened, they can help Klal Yisrael maintain. Yudah ben Tam and Shimon Shetach referred to the court system, rabbinic leadership, as did Shmaya Vavtalion, even more focused on rabbinic leadership. And each of these institutions, each Mishnah describes how each of these institutions, Rebbe Talmud, rabbinic leadership, Batei Dinim, and home, if they are strengthened and appreciated, then they can become valuable institutions through which Klal Yisrael will be able to thrive from throughout the various Yiridus HaDoros that we will undergo. Okay, just gives you a structure for the parak, rather than just this parrot comments that have been good. It seems to me that the prokim of Pirkei Avos are structured prokim. Right? The fact that the Zugos are focusing on similar ideas, and then the fact that when you get to Parakeh, so you have Asar Mamoros, Asar Adoros, Asar Nisyonos, Asar Nisim, so clearly the Tanoim of Yudah Nasi had themes in mind, so to speak. And you see a similar... in the second part. Right. Okay. Let's go a little bit further in the Masechta. The Gemara at the bottom of Ayin Gil Amud Beis. Ayin Delo Amud Aleph brings us back to Rodev, some important parts of Rodev. The sugi that we discussed once on a Tuesday about neutralizing a Reitzeach. And then brings us the Sugi of Hargal Yavar, the sugi that have an opportunity to learn it be'ian as we go through. That's very kedai. The bottom of ayin gilam and beis helps as a suya that can be used as a mafteach, so to speak, to various sugyas in shas that deal with different aspects of the ma'isa bia. And in and of itself is not really our so germane to the Masechta, but it's very, very kedai because it will give us an opportunity to define different parts of the ma'isa bia, which then one will be able to use in different contexts. So the Gemara opens by referring to the drasha on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Brings us back to last year's sugya. Person, the woman is Rachmanel Tzlan, raped. The Torah says, "Ulenara leisase dover." She's innocent. "Ein lenara chet moves." She's not chayiv misa. Because she's the victim of a murder. So the our Gemara darshins that this is how we learn the din of Roidev, both in the case of murder, right, and the din of Roidev in Averois that are create a pigam and kloin. Right, an aggressive averus that create pigam and kloin. That's what we learned last week on Wednesday, right? On Thursday. We missed a day, right? We missed Thursday, right? Because the chasana. So the Gemara now darshins ulenaru leisasa dover elenaru cheit maves nar zezocher mishkam zocher is a person who is aggressively forcing himself into a zocher. So that is a ma'aser redifa. Nara zunamei rasa. That is adultery. Chait iluchai vekrisus. Moves iluchai vemisus beizin. Incest. So all of these halachas, all of these situations, if a man is forcing himself into these situations, so then he is forfeiting his life, and any bystander can employ the din of leisam al damriyach. All right, kacha din. How do we know this? Because the Torah says, and how do we know that it's the other way around? How do we know that leisam damriyecha includes even to the extent of killing the roidev? Because of this pasuk, kikasha yokim ishtar yeyu v'tzachay kein adover ezeh. Right? How do we know that the din of rape, that rape allows the bystander to kill the roidev? Ein meshia la. Because this can only happen when there is no way that a human being can help her out. That means that one uses everything that is at one's, that one has, in order to be able to stop this from happening. That's a rate. Go ahead.
Drashas originally starts off, we make the drasha from not murder to not rasha, and then we bring it back.
Yeah.
It's like the Erev Parshas thing, right?
Whoa, no. When the Erev Parshas is very, very specific.
Sounds pretty similar, that you can learn whatever you want affirmation
about. That's a good aura. I have to think about it. I don't remember being referred to as Erev Parshas. I believe the reason is because this is much more direct than Erev Parshas. Erev Parshas, so there was that the din of Moed B'Miktas, right, was in the din of She'ela, should have been, right?
The murder part is mentioned in the
Chazara. It's Gavaldi Chazara, very good. Okay. Well, that was a Mordechai on top of your game. Okay. But I may... release you from the final. initiating to that chazar. Okay. Okay. So is it an era of parshas? So I believe the answer is that it is not referred to as era of parshas because it is a much more explicit hekesh. On one hand, I think that what Elizabeth Mordechai is saying is correct, that it is a form of a hekesh. The fact that the Torah puts the two parshas together, I think it's correct. Why isn't it called the era of parshas? I think era of parshas is much more subtle.
No, I'm saying the murder part also doesn't really make sense. We're talking about not
anymore dealing. Right. Right, but that is well. What has to do with it is the pashtus is that the Torah is saying the rape, the woman who was raped, is as innocent as a woman who was murdered. All right. That's correct, but that's. Right, so the point of the pasuk is ki kasher yokum isha reyeh utzochi hanevesh kena dover azeh. So the point of the parsha, and again, as we said last week, I think there are numerous levels of this. I think there's the halacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to communicate the din of Roidev, that rape is Ein Meshiela, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to equate for us the evil of rape and the evil of murder. Right? And as we said, in contemporary times, we can appreciate to a greater extent what the parsha is pointing out to us. And in terms of the halacha, it does, and that's what we pointed out, that there must be a musar haskel in giving us the din of roidev in the context of rape, and then extending it back from there to the din of mitzih. So the Gemara on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Chet Elu Chayve Krisus. So we've learned the din. The din is that any time a man forces himself on an erva, so he is liable for the din of roidev. A bystander can take him out. So Gemara says Varaminu. This goes against a Mishnah that we learned at the beginning of last year. Eilu narish yeshlan knas. What's the sugi of Eilu narish yeshlan knas? There are two parshas in Kiseitse. Ma'anes u'mafata. Right? Ma'anes is when a man forces himself on a woman and rapes her. Mafata is when he seduces her. And the halacha is that when a man seduces a woman, so when he seduces a nara, so then the din is that he has a choice. He has a choice of marrying her or a choice of giving her 50 shkolim. Right? If any one of the three parties does not want to get married, why three parties? The father. So if any one of the three parties of the marriage, the possible groom, the possible bride, the possible father, so if any one of the three are against the shidduch, then he has to give 50 Shkolim. Right? In other words, then there's a form of compensation. There's a form of a ksuva. But if all three are in agreement, so then he marries her. In other words, the Torah ultimately protects the woman. When you look at it from a contemporary perspective, it's something a little perturbed. Right? Why isn't he punished? But again, this is a case of seducing, so that there were two consensual, to some extent, right? There was began non-consensual, became consensual. But I think that there's an important idea over here, that is that the punishment does not always protect the victim. And over here, there's a greater value in protecting the victim and then in punishing the criminal. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu can also take care of the criminal. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu says that the person who's going to suffer most, at least offer her a opportunity of putting her life back together. What about when Reuven is Ma'anes Sarah? Right? So then the din is that he has to pay 50 shekels, he gets punished no matter what. But in addition, the Torah says that he must, as long as the wife, the soon-to-be wife, the victim, and the victim's father, Shadanara, agree, so then, as long as they want it. And if they don't want it, then it would not be a good situation. That would be a way of forcing a woman to marry you. So obviously you cannot use rape to force a woman to marry you. On the other hand, if the father and the girl are in agreement that this could be ultimately a good situation, right? The person was as aggressive as he was, but he was nichshal, was as yetzer. But ultimately, it could be a livable situation. So then, again, that's the greatest form of protection, if it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, so then, obviously, we're not going to force husband to marry this girl, and he has to give a knas. Good? So now the Torah says, but what happens if he ends up raping somebody who he can't marry? Velosi Elisha. So they can't complete the deal. So the Gemara says, af al pi ken, es be knas. Even though the knas is structured as something that works in consonance with forcing them to get married if she wants to get married, the Torah says, but we don't, it is not conditional. And in the event that he's not able to complete if he can't complete the Los Yelisha, so then nevertheless, he has his chai knas. Ve'elu naras sheyesh len knas. Ha'bol achoisei. An example would be where he violates last week's parasha, upcoming week's parasha, and he rapes his sister. Omru Rabbanan, and again, what's the chiddush? What's the chiddush of this line? Elo Narvis Sheyesh Len Knas Habol Achoisai. This is what gives the name to the third paragraph of Ksuvos. Elo Narvis. But what is the chiddush? The chiddush is that even though they cannot be mekayim the pasuk velo sila isha, nevertheless, he still has to pay kenas. Good. Amru Rabbanan Kami, the Rav Chisda. So the Tanoim, the Meirom discussed this Mishnah in front of Rav Chisda. What were they discussing? What were they discussing that would be important to discuss in the Perek Ben Serebar? We're talking about a Ma'anes. Right? So when you learn the Gemara Ksuvos, you look at it from the angle of the Knas and then the viability of the marriage. When you learn the Sugya Roidev, every Ma'anes is a Roidev. Right? So that means every Ma'anes is Chayiv Misa. B'shas, it is when he's doing the Ma'anes, right? So Gemara says, when they asked for Chizda, they said, but how could it be that the Ma'anes is Chayiv Knas? After all, the Ma'anes is Chayiv Misa. Now, in part, this Gemara, this issue is, again, the Sugya Melanaris. Sugya Melanaris is discussing Komli Ramine. And the Gemara has drushes to say that and these are exceptions to the general rule of Kom Leim and Rav Mine. Right? Let's look at the Rashi. Habala Choyse. Kiloy Mafilu Bala Choyse Duloy Kirina Ba. Veloy Seli Isha Filu Achi. Nevertheless, Kirina Ba Vindasan Isha Shechim Ima. This Ravi Mikroy Miksubis. And the Torah, and the Gemara Miksubis, Darshan Psukim, to tell us that this is the din. Namely, that there's a chiyuv, that there's teshlumei kenas. Even though there's no v'lo yelisha. And even though that normally this is chayiv koris, nevertheless we have psukim to teach us chayiv teshlumin even so. The Gemara discusses when would we say Eilu Naris Chayiv Bekenas. The Gemara discusses only in certain situations where there wasn't a Chiyuv Koris. But our Gemara is saying, put aside the Chiyuv Koris. There's a Chiyuv Roidev. Once the Chiyuv Roidev is Chayiv Misa. So he's Chayiv Misa, how can he be Chayiv Kenas? That's our Gemara's Kasha. Amru Rabbonon Kameh Derav Chizda. And they had to explain this din of how can it be that Eilu Naris Yeshlin Knas, isn't there a din of Kol Le'Ramine? And based on Sugiv Roidev, the rapist is Chayiv Misa B'Shas being Mames. That's our Sugiv. Alright? So our Sugiv says, Rabbanan Kamil Chizda, Mishas ha'ora de pogma, if der lam miktola, v'moynel and mishalim agmar biya. Agmar says, "What's that? What is the din of roidei for you? Why is there a din of roidei? Why do we say that the rapist is chayiv misa? When do we say that an avarian is chayiv misa for doing an avera? When do we say in the Rambam's nusach that we take the chayiv misa?" That a person would normally earn via Edim and via Bezdin. And now we bring the Chiyuv Misa in early to prevent the crime from happening. When do we say that the Ubi Arta Mikir Becha should be employed by the Bezdin to make sure the crime doesn't happen to begin with? The Gemara says that is only on a of Misas based in of an act that creates Koloinu Pagam. If it's Chil Shabbos, so then we don't say, let's prevent the Chil Shabbos from happening and kill the guy before the Chil Shabbos. Not only in based in, right? But when it comes to an Avera that's going to create and it's going to harm another person irreparably, when the Aveira is going to shame another person, create a Pagam B'Koloin, and it's questionable will they be able to recover. So in that situation, that's when the Torah says, oh, let's take the Ubi Arta Mikir Becha, and let's see if by employing that, we can prevent the Mice from happening altogether. So the Gemara says, when do we say, so that only is when the as soon as the pagam is created. So the moment the pagam is created, the moment there is he'ora, right? That's when the pagam is created, and that's when the chiyuv misa is in place. But a second later, after the pigam happened already, after the clone happened already, after the rapist is already chayiv misa, if he continues the maisa bia, so then he will still be chayiv as the ma'anes, and chayiv chamishim shkolim. And he'll have a chayiv knas. So the Gemara explains, Mishas ha'ara de pogma, if the lomik told after he's done ha'ara, after he's penetrated minimally, so he's already created the pagam. So if the lomik tolam, but once the pagam is created, he's no longer a roidev. Right? Again, when do we say that a roidev is chayiv misa? when we're able to prevent the pigam and cloying from happening. But if we can no longer prevent it from happening, it happened already, then it's a regular avarnas chayiv misa. Because we cannot prevent the cloying of pigam. So once the aura took place, the cloying of pigam happened. So he's no longer a reidik.
He's chayiv misa.
For Baal Achoy, he's chayiv misa based on.
Not a regular.
Okay,
never mind. Forget it.
Right. Got it.
The Mishnah
Sedek
Ksubas
that the chayiv misa based on. The Gemara says this chayiv
misa based on.
Baal Achoy is chayiv krisis, no? Baal Achoy, but the chayiv krisis and the chayiv misa based on. No, the chayis is both.
But the Mishnah said that afal pi sheim b'im Mrs. Bezdin.
Right?
Afal pi sheim b'im chiyuv karis b'im Mrs. Bezdin, no? That was the first Mishnah in the parak.
Right. But since they still have chiyuv Mrs. Bezdin, therefore we do a pi kol ravi night. Right? Chayisai and Abim v'imoy. And imoy. Because that's chiyuv sreifa. Right? But the... Those that the chiyuv ikoreis that are not chiyuv misas based in, that's what the Gemara says, and then we wouldn't apply them. That's the second mission, right? So the Gemara says, "Honich b'shas." So this is the din of b'idna, and all our mission is saying is that the moment the begam is already taking place, so the din of reina falls off. Good. So then the Gemara says, "Nich lemando amah arvazu neshika, el lemando amah arvazu achnosas atora ma'ika lemeimer." Right. So the Gemara says, "Well, there even ha'ara. Until now, we were assuming there's a ha'ara and there's a gemar bia. Ha'ara means initiating the ma'isa. Gemar bia means completing the ma'isa. And then Rashi introduces the idea of miruka de bia. Miruka de bia means that the person was moitzi zera. So." There are two different levels of penetration and Eitzah Zera. So the Ha'orah is minimal penetration. Gemar Bia is the, what you call substantial, significant, whatever, complete penetration. And Miruka is the Eitzah Zera. So our Gemara says that if you say that Ha'orah is Unishikam, then what you said is accurate. Why? Because once the aura is done, so there's kolaynu pigam, right? And then with further penetrations, the breaking of the psulim. And that's when the chayv the chamishim shkom. The kenas comes because they're breaking the psulim. How do we know that? Because we're talking about an Arab psulim. Right? So hon nich lamando amma aura zu nishik. If you say that minimal penetration is nishika, is a absolutely minimal, what we'd call touching. So then we could understand very well once the touching took place of the Eber Boisim Mokoim, so then she became a Nara Murasa to which the to. No, then he's no longer a roidev because she already lost her klein pagam. But the chiyuv mamon comes from the dropping of the psulim, and that requires another few millimeters of penetration before that's going to be torn. However, if you hold that or mezuch achnasat Torah. If you hold that simply the Eber touching Oisei Mokim, that is not a Maisibi at all. It's Oser, it's Chibi Fenishuk, but it's not a Maisibi of Bechlal. Right? And, however, and it would not even be Kolinu Pagam. It has to be Achnos Natara, being Machnas, the area of the Bris. So then, Vehikel HaMeimah, how are we going to be in the Sugya? Because then, Hodra Kusha Liduchta. because by the time he's no longer a roidev, she's no longer a psula. Gemara, if you could distinguish between the maisa redifa and the maisa soros psulim, so then we got a sugya, right? Because the maisa redifa stops with minimal penetration, but the taking away the psulim begins a little bit, a few seconds later. All right, so they say he's chayiv misa because of roidev. Then after the klinut pagam is imposed, he's no longer chayiv misa because of roidev. And then once the aver enters, and now he's chayiv misa because of being ba'al achoso, and he gets to be brought to Beis Din. So everything works out. Right, according to this man d'omar, hal nichal man d'omar ha'aruzu nishika, but el man d'omar ha'aruzu achnas ha'tar ikal ha'meimar, el man chizda kigoyin shebo alel shaloi kedarka. Right? If you say that I just found it so hard in this whole hard room. Is that? Okay.
Why don't they have AC?
Hirsch is quiet in it. What? Hirsch is not so loud today.
Made up was like
5% of the box. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Was that? No, there's something wrong with this side of the building. It wasn't.
Just
the
spots are attractive.
They have air conditioning, yeah. We're not Zerche. You have to have schuyas, that's the problem. As that works, okay. Maybe we'll fast all these more. Okay. So the if you hold that or zuach nasa Torah. So then, he is still a roidev while he is imposing the siluk psula. Right?
If ha'ara is what?
A Torah. If minimal penetration is the bris area, so that means that he is still being called a roidev while he is removing the psula. So therefore, the knas and the chiyav misa roidev are having the same time. There shouldn't be a knas.
Gemara in the previous summit said that the Naira, so Kapagimla,
right.
Rashi says, the last Rashi in the Omud, the Psulin Megan al Baila.
Right.
So according to that, the Maise Gam, for which he's no longer Chayav Misa,
yeah,
is the damage for which he's Chayav Chemish Mishkal. No?
Good, so the question, good.
So, it's the same as any. So, the question. I mean, that question was true before. I mean, I don't understand.
The first man d'amar
doesn't make sense then.
Why? Go ahead.
Because.
Let's say her aura is the Maisa Medifa. She becomes Kolonu Pagam. Right?
But there's no. But Achnasa Satora, there's no. According to Rashi, there's no Pagam. That's not the Pagam for which he's.
No.
I'm sorry.
She'll be Magun al Baila for the fact that she was raped even as only her. But the din of Ma'anes, who's Chayv Chamishim Shkolim, is only by a Soros Psulim.
So that doesn't seem to be the case, according to.
Why?
What Rashi says over there.
Why?
Because the gam that patters him from Misa is the gam besulim. It's beidna. It's not too different. It's not too.
No, that's exactly what you're saying. The chiyah besulim, right? The sugya of ma'anes is hasaros besulim. The din of roidev is klenu pagam that happens before then.
So what's pshat in the first man d'omer that says that it's happening two different times? that it's okay because you can have.
Because the machlokes is when does klonu pigam happen? Does it happen b'shas? Everybody says it happens b'shas ha'ora. Is that b'shas neshika or b'shas achnasas ha'tora?
Okay.
How would you be able to tell the difference? I mean, if someone, if you would say that.
It's a good kasha. Hold on a second. Let's go get Meir.
Maybe answer my question.
Oh, good. Okay. Good. So the Emma says the kasha is a good kasha. I don't know if he answered that question.
If you put it in Shiga, then it makes sense because then anything you would be able to kill with it is not kasha. So that's harder than how would you be able to kill
it? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Same way you could kill someone for adultery in the first place.
There's not, I'm saying you need it. No, but the Baruch is saying, how would any bystander know? I don't know. Kasha's a good kasha. So, my ikal and meimar. The Torah is probably the Nachanami. That we wouldn't know. So therefore, who's that? It's a good kasha. I don't know. Elo leman de omer ozu achnosa Torah ma'ika lemeimer. Elo omer Rav Chisda. Right, so our Gemara is saying that hodu kush leduchta, that the moment of asaros pesulim, according to this man de omer, is going to be achnosa Torah, and that's also going to be the ha'ora. Elo man do amar ha'orzu achnas atara ma'ik lameimer elo amar chizda kigoin shebo'aleo sholoi kedarikom v'chazar u'bo'aleo kedarikom rova amar v'nichosu sholoi argeno Rabbi Yehuda v'papa amar v'futu v'diri yako abaye v'yochel atzil yechem meibar. We have four different solutions to this question, and each of these solutions is a sugya. The sugya that we are going to be most interested in is the one of Yochel Hatzel Be'achem Eivar. All right, but I wanted to get to this point in the sugya for two reasons. Number one is so you should realize the different levels of bia, the different standards of bia shaloi kedarka, right. And Vishalakadek is achnosa in the anal area. Achnosa in the area she's with the Mary line. That's Vishalakadarka. So and there's one other har I wanted to make based on the Suya, an important Aron Roide from a Baruch Ber. But so that we'll leave for tomorrow, Mr. Shem. Okay, so tomorrow we'll finish this up. And discuss the Yad Ramah. We'll go a little bit slower because I don't think you have that much time to prepare. Right? What time is good for Shiva tomorrow?
Tuesday time.
Was that? Tuesday time is good?
I'm going to be done by 3.
I have a class.
They moved a lot.
We're going to be done. That's what we're. We end Shiva.
Do you want to have Shiva at 12 or at.